You'll find our scripture reading in the New Testament scriptures in 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, chapter 1, commencing to read from verse 1. The first chapter of 1 Peter, and reading from the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Ending there at the last verse of the chapter. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for Christ's sake. Let us again seek the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again in our Savior's name, we come to thee. We thank thee for grace given to sing thy praise. Lord, we thank thee for thy love, for thy great love towards us, thy great love for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Lord, we ask thee that as we come now to the preaching of thy word, that thou will be pleased to move upon all our hearts by thy Spirit. Lord, prepare even our hearts now to receive aright, even to hear aright, thy precious truth. O God, keep our meeting covered by the blood. How we thank thee for the precious, precious blood of the Saviour, that blood that alone cleanseth from all sin. O God, we pray against the powers of darkness. We would resist the devil in the Saviour's name, And we ask for a sense of thy nearness. Help us each one to have our hearts fixed upon thy word. And O God, we ask that thou wilt bless thine own precious truth to our souls this night as thou seest we have need. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I begin by asking just a very simple and straight question, and it's this: how is your love for Jesus Christ? How is your love for Jesus Christ? Can I put the emphasis upon another word? How is your love for the Lord Jesus? The presence of love in the heart is really an indispensable ingredient of true Christian character. And love for Christ will inevitably be in the heart where the Holy Spirit has been at work and that person has become a true Christian and is really trusting only in the Lord Jesus for the salvation of their soul. The chapter that we were reading together, 1 Peter chapter 1, we find that Peter is writing to believers. He's writing to those that he describes as the elect, the sanctified, the washed. He describes them as those who have been begotten onto a lively or onto a living hope. And then we find, as we read on in the chapter here in 1 Peter, chapter 1, that when we come to verse 8, he says this concerning them, whom having not seen, ye love. He means by that though they had not seen him with the physical eye, nevertheless, there was a love in their hearts for him. And so as surely as every believer is one of God's elect, one of God's washed ones, one of God's sanctified ones, so every true believer loves the Christ whom he has never seen with the physical eye. And where there is no love for Christ in the heart, no love, then there has been no saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The soul is not in any saving union by faith with the Son of God, where there is absolutely no love in the heart for the Savior. We find that the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthians, makes a very profound statement. He's been writing to the church at Corinth, and that church had many, many problems, many, many difficulties. And yet as Paul was writing to them in his first letter, he was really making it clear to them that Christ is really the answer to all of their problems and to all of their difficulties and to all of their concerns. And then as he comes towards the end of his first letter to them, with no doubt that thought in his mind about Christ being the answer to all of their problems and all of their difficult situations that they found themselves in, he said this in Corinthians 16 and verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And that word anathema, it's just really a transliteration in English. It's taking the Greek letters and putting the English equivalents. And the meaning is, let him be accursed of God. Let him be accursed of God. Now, love to Christ is not the ground of our acceptance with God. We can only be in heaven because God has provided a perfect righteousness for us. And he has provided that perfect righteousness in the person of the Lord Jesus. So the ground of being acceptable before God has to be found there in that perfect righteousness of Christ. Love is not the means whereby we lay hold upon that righteousness. No, the means whereby we lay hold upon the righteousness that every one of us needs, it is faith. And it's only by faith, by the grace of faith, and faith alone. Because faith, if you like, is just the empty hand that reaches out and receives the offered righteousness that is there in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the very essence of saving faith is such that it does see and it does behold a loveliness in Christ. And beholding that loveliness, beholding that beauty in Christ, then the heart is drawn out to Christ. And not only is the heart drawn out to Christ, but the heart is brought into a loving attachment to the person of Christ. So I ask again, how is your love for Christ? That's the theme that I want to dwell upon for just a little while this evening, thinking about love to Christ. Let's first of all consider its character. The character of love to Christ. What do we really mean when we speak about love to Christ? What does it involve? Well, it involves several things. One I suggest is this, that it involves goodwill towards Christ. Because if we love Christ, if we really love Christ, then we will have goodwill towards Him. I could think of the words of Paul writing to the Romans in Romans 13 verse 10, where he said, "This love worketh no ill to his neighbor." Well, if love would work no ill to his neighbor, then I suggest it would be working goodwill towards his neighbor. And so it is with love to Christ, because the essence of love is to have goodwill towards its object. Now, we know that God has a general benevolence and affection to all his creatures. You remember Christ's Sermon on the Mount? Over there in Matthew 5, verse 45, where he says that God sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. So, God's love is manifested in his goodwill towards his creatures. In fact, God commands us, who are his servants, to proclaim the gospel to every creature, doesn't he? We are to go into all the world. And we are to preach the gospel to every creature, to proclaim that Christ is an able and a willing Savior. And you see, God's love towards his creatures is manifested, is revealed in his goodwill that he shows towards them. But then you might ask, well, what do you mean really by goodwill? What is goodwill towards him? What does that mean? Well, can we think of it this way? If we have goodwill towards the Lord, then we're really glad that he is who he is. That he is who he is, and who is he? He's the mighty God. He's the Son given. He's the child born. He's the Father of eternity. He's very God of very God. And yet he's true man. Goodwill to him in the integrity of his Godhood. Goodwill to him in the reality of his manhood. You see, to have goodwill to Christ is to be satisfied that he is the person that he is, that he is the God-man, the person that he is in himself. Just to be satisfied, content to believe that the God-man is one person, and yet he has two natures. That's the highest mystery of the Christian faith. One person, two natures, forever. That is Jesus Christ. That is the Lord Jesus. Satisfied and content in our hearts to really submit to his claims over us. If that is so, then we're showing goodwill towards him. No matter what his claims are. No matter what claims he makes over us and upon us. Because remember, he does claim total allegiance. He does make that claim for those who will be his, for those who will trust him, for those who will be his followers, those who will be his disciples. He's claiming total allegiance from them. Are we satisfied with that? Are we content to have it that way? Or do we say, well, I hear his claims, but I think the standard that he sets is too high? I read of his commands, but somehow I feel they're just a little bit too stringent. Maybe they're just a little bit over-embracing. Or are you saying in your heart, no, I'm satisfied to submit to them all because I feel that he is worthy of the devotion of all my heart. This is what it is to show goodwill towards him. And if we have got love in our hearts for him, then we will be showing this goodwill towards him. Then, not only will we be showing goodwill towards him, we'll actually we'll actually delight in him. We'll actually delight in him. To delight in someone or in something means that we have joy, we have gladness, we have pleasure. Let me try and illustrate it this way. When a good friend of yours would come to see you, come to visit you, what is the expression that perhaps you would say when you would greet them, when you would meet them? Would you say something like this? I'm delighted to see you. I'm so glad to see you. It's just wonderful to have you come and see me and visit with me. You see, that the very sight of that good friend of yours gives you that measure of joy, that measure of gladness in your heart. Well, so on the spiritual level and in a spiritual sense, it is with the Lord Jesus. We delight in him. You remember the words of the psalmist over there in Psalm 37, verse 4? Delight thyself also in the Lord. In the Lord. You see, we're not only delighting in the blessings of the Lord, and it's good to delight in those, yes, but we're actually delighting in the Lord himself. And if we've got love in our hearts for Christ, we know what it is to delight in him. I fear that some would profess to know him, but it would seem that they would give him up if they could still be in heaven. But for those who really love him, then they would not even have that thought of wanting to give him up. You remember how the hymn writer put it? He said, Jesus, wondrous Savior, Christ of kings, the King, angels fall before thee, prostrate worshipping. All earth's flowing pleasures were a wintry scene. Heaven itself without thee, dark as night would be. Is that not true? Without Christ? Without the Savior? Without the Lord Jesus? Oh, if we've got a love in our hearts for him, we delight in him. Then we also have a desire for him. We have a desire for him. Those whom we love, don't we have a desire for him? Surely there is found a desire in our hearts for those that we love, those who are the objects of our love. And so it is for the one who has love in his heart for Christ. There's a desire for the Savior. Remember how the psalmist expressed it over there in Psalm 73? He said this, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You see, here is genuine love. And how is it manifesting itself? It's manifesting itself in desire. And so I'm saying, if we have got love in our hearts for Christ, it will be manifesting itself in a desire for Christ. You remember over there in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel where there were some professed disciples of the Lord Jesus. And then when they began to listen to his word and his teaching, oh, you remember how they said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? And don't we read there how that they turned away from him and they followed him no more? You see, they didn't really have a desire for him, because the truth of the matter was they had no real love in their hearts for him. But where there is a love for Christ, it will manifest itself in a desire for him. Oh, a desire how? A desire to seek him. A desire to seek him. A desire that will show itself in the seeking of the Lord. Again, I come to the Psalms. Listen to those words in Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Do you see the seeking? You see, this desire shows itself in a seeking of the Lord. It really manifests itself in a panting after the Lord. Another of the Psalms expresses this very thought. Psalm 42, the opening verses, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. What does the psalmist go on to say? So panteth my soul after God. So panteth my soul. Such is the desire of heart. You see, the heart of the believer is never satisfied if Christ is absent. Christ is absent. I suggest to you that there would be nothing more painful and hard to endure than a Christless Sabbath. If you've got love in your heart for Christ, you'd find it very hard to endure a Christless Sabbath. Aye, very hard to endure a Christless sermon, very hard to endure a Christless hour of worship. Because such will be the love in your heart for Him. Oh, to use the language of the Old Testament, to be in Jerusalem and not see the face of the King. It brought no consolation to the King's son to be in Jerusalem and yet to be shut out seeing the King's face. What's the great end for which we gather in the house of God? Is it not to meet Him? Is it not to fellowship and commune with Him? And if we're not doing that, if we don't meet Him, are we satisfied? Of course not. Oh, such will be the love in the heart, and we long to meet Him. Yes, that's something of the character of love to Christ. Goodwill towards Him, delighting in Him, having a desire for Him. And secondly, let me just speak to you about the commencement of this love in the heart for Him and towards Him. How can we sum it up simply? Like this. The commencement of this love, it's basically twofold. It commences when we do get a sight of Him. Because until we get a sight of Him, we never know the commencement of this love towards Him. You remember how Paul was expressing it when he was writing again to the Corinthians? This time in his second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's saying that he has got a problem. A problem as he's preaching the gospel. Well, what is the problem that he had? The problem was this, that he says in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, in verse 2, he said he had renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He was saying, look, I have renounced everything in my own life that would be a hindrance to me as a true servant of the Lord Jesus. But he said, the problem that I have is this, that I am going forth and I'm preaching the glorious gospel of Christ. And as I preach that glorious gospel, I'm presenting a wonderful picture to men and women. A wonderful picture. But the problem is, though I'm presenting a wonderful picture, I'm presenting it to those who are blind. And because they're blind, they can't see it. And they're not able to behold anything of the beauty that I can see in that picture. So in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You see, he's painting the picture of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The gospel of the glory of Christ. He says in verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Now the gospel has a form and the gospel has a glory. And we can but set the form before you, but until the Spirit Himself pulls the veil away from those eyes that have been blinded by the God of this world, then you do not begin to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But when you do begin to see God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ, then you will begin to love Him. You will begin to love Him. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. What to do? What to do? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you see, when you get a sight of Him, then there will be the commencement of a love for Him. You see, He's always seen. He's always seen with eyes illuminated by the Spirit, and that's always done in connection with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can love an unseen Christ, that is, unseen with the physical eye, as Peter was speaking of those believers to whom he was writing, but you can't love an unknown Christ. You can't love an unknown Christ. Christ will be an unknown Christ to you until He is a revealed Christ. And you see, that's what God does in the gospel. In his grace and in his mercy and in his love, he reveals Christ. He reveals Christ to the soul. The only one who can save the soul. Yes, get a sight of him. But along with that, trust in him. Peter said to this people, you don't see him with the physical eye, but you love him. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, it's through the trust in Christ and his work of salvation that love is created in the heart, that love commences in the heart, and then we love him who first loved us. Oh, the wonder of it all. So love to Christ is not only created in the heart in the preaching of the gospel when there's that revelation of Christ to our hearts, but also in a believing response to the gospel whenever we trust in Christ with all our heart. Yes, that's something of the commencement of this love. But then in the third and final place, can I speak to you about the confirmation of this love? What is the fruit of this love? Love to Christ. Do you love Christ? That's the question we asked, didn't it? Wasn't that the question? Do you love Christ? How is your love for Christ? You see, love to Christ will never be inactive. Love to Christ will never be unused. I was thinking about that portion of Scripture over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, where we read about the Savior going to the house of the Pharisee. And you remember there was that woman who came with the alabaster box of ointment. We read in Luke 7:38, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And of course the Pharisee responded by saying, oh, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And then as you read on down the chapter, the Lord Jesus said in verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She loved much. She loved much. Her love wasn't inactive. Her love wasn't unused, was it? Because she had a genuine love in her heart for the Lord Jesus. I often think of those martyrs for the faith. They loved not their lives unto the death. What love they must have. They were willing to go to the stake and be burned in the flames, all because they so loved their Savior. What's the test of true love in the heart for him? Isn't it to obey his commandments? Is that what we're seeking to do? We can never obey them perfectly, I know, but are we endeavoring to do that? Are we endeavoring to be walking in the pathway of obedience to him? We know how Peter stumbled and denied his Lord. And then whenever the Lord came and there was that restoring grace of God there in his heart, you remember the question that was asked, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And Peter was able to say, amidst all of his sense of failure, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Can you say that? Can you say that with honesty? Concerning Christ tonight, thou knowest that I love thee. You say, well, yes, I believe I can, and I do. But, maybe there's a but. What might the but be? Could the but be, yes, I love him, but I love him so poorly. I love him so faintly. When I think of his great love for me, how will I get my love strengthened? How will my love be strengthened for my Lord and my Savior? Well, let me say this. It will not be strengthened by looking at your love, won't it? Your love will be strengthened by looking at him. Your love will be strengthened by seeing him. After all, how was your love first born for him? Wasn't it by looking to him? Wasn't it? Wasn't that how it was first born in your heart for him? By looking to him. And you see, that's where it's going to grow. And that's where it's going to strengthen. As you continue to look to him, the one who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Do we not often lament that our love for Christ is weak and faint? And yet we think of His great unchanging love for us. But oh, if we're able to say that we love Him, even though we weep over the weakness of that love, then we do belong to Him. We do know Him in a saving way. But do I speak to anyone tonight and you don't know Him? And there is no real love in that heart of yours for Him at all. Oh, you mention His name. You hear His name spoken by others. But there's no love in your heart for Him. And yet, He's the one who died for sinners. And He so loved them that He gave Himself for them. What greater love could there be than this? Does that truth not break your heart? Would that great reality and that great truth not bring you to come and submit to Him and yield to Him and believe on Him and trust Him and take Him? Take Him as your Lord and your Savior, your Redeemer. Oh, come to Him. He bids you come. Will you? Then you'll be able to say, yes, there is now in my heart a love for the One who died to save me from my sins. Let's bow and pray.